Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the truth uncovered about Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar's botched visit to Israel and the terror ties to the organization sponsoring the group.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Israeli government had originally granted Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib's request to visit her grandmother in the West Bank, initially when denying her request and the request of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar to enter Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Tlaib could submit a humanitarian request to visit her relatives if she promised not to promote boycotts against Israel while there.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Tlaib tweeting moments ago, silencing me and treating me like a criminal is not what she wants for me. It would kill a piece of me. I have decided that visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions stands against everything I believe in, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
1-800-684-3110 on this Friday. Love to get your phone call. So, Israel shows true colors. Says if you really want to visit your family member, your 90-year-old grandmother, just submit a request. We'll grant that. And Israel did. Here's what Rashida Tlaib wrote. Not what Israel said, but what Rashida Tlaib wrote to the Minister of the Interior to Israel yesterday. I would like to request admittance to Israel in order to visit my relatives and specifically my grandmother, who is in her 90s and lives in Beit al-Fuq. This could be my last opportunity to see her. I will respect any restrictions and will not promote boycotts against Israel during my visit. Thank you, Rashida Tlaib. And then has her congressional information. Now, I don't know if she expected Israel just to deny this or if she thought in the plan she could just say, see, they'll only let me in with restrictions. Guess what happened? Israel says, fine, go visit your grandmother. It's a humanitarian country. It's a country that wants people to be able to visit their family, including in the Palestinian territories. By the way, she could enter the West Bank through Jordan and face none of these issues. You don't have to travel through Israel to get there. But besides the point, Israel said, fine, come visit your grandmother. You're the one who said, I will abide by any restrictions and will not promote boycotts against Israel during my visit. She put that in her letter. So when Israel granted her request, what did Rashida Tlaib say? My city, I guess that refers to her grandmother, wanted to pick figs with me. I broke down reading this and worry every single day after I won for my family's safety. My cousin was texting me which photo of Ilhan Omar and I they should put on a welcoming poster when I heard the news. I couldn't tell her. Then she writes, when I won, it gave the Palestinian people hope that someone will finally speak the truth about the inhumane conditions. Now get this. Israel says, come visit your grandmother. She tweets, I can't allow the state of Israel to take away that light by humiliating me and use my love for my grandmother to bow down to their oppressive and racist policies. She put in her letter, I will respect any restrictions and will not promote boycotts against Israel during my visit. She didn't have to put that line. She could have left it with, visit my grandmother. This could be my last opportunity. Signed, Rashida Tlaib. I think they probably would have said yes to that as well. But she wanted to add that in so that even if, and I think in her case, she probably, I would say that automatically Israel was going to say yes to that. But she wanted to make sure that even if Israel did say yes, she was going to respond and say, I'm not bowing down to those oppressors and racists. And then she ends with this, silencing me and treating me like a criminal is not what she wants for me, her grandmother. It would kill a piece of me. I have decided that visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions stand against everything I believe in, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice. And just wait, when we come back from the break and I explain to you about that group, MIFDA. Remember I told you as I was reading about it while we were on air live yesterday, there's nothing good you're going to find out about this group. Well, that's exactly what reporters found. Nothing good about the group who were sponsoring Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib's trip to Israel. If you stand with Israel, ACLJ is a great organization to support. We have an office in Jerusalem. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. We are behind this month in your in financial contributions, so we need your support. You double the impact. It's a matching challenge month. Donate today at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. So Rashida Tlaib, when she was granted access humanitarian visit, go visit your grandmother, no problem. State of Israel says, if that's what you want to do, fine. No, that's not enough for me. I will not be silenced. These oppressive conditions stand against everything I believe in, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice. So I guess it really wasn't about going to visit your 90-year-old grandmother and maybe the last time you'll ever see her. Which again, Israel said, fine, go do that. And it was Rashida Tlaib who put these restrictions on her visit by saying, I will respect any restrictions and will not promote boycotts against Israel during my visit. I think she expected they'd probably say no because they already denied her. But if they did say yes, she would still come out and condemn Israel, which is exactly what she did. But you're not going to be surprised then that the group that was going to sponsor Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar's visit to Israel is known as the Palestinian Initiative for the Promotion of Global Dialogue and Democracy, better known as what we talked about yesterday, MIFDA, which is its Arabic acronym. MIFDA for years has carried out notable ties to terrorist sympathizers, has openly accused Israel of atrocities, and supports the boycott of Israeli products. This was the key for me. It was in the Daily Caller. And again, this is just digging on their website, what they put out publicly, not even like behind the scenes, what their links are. Just write out what they've actually put on their website. MIFTA's own website describes Wafa Adris, a female suicide bomber, as one of a few young women who chose to, quote, join the ranks of the resistance movement. That's how they described a teenage suicide bomber. They didn't call her a teenage suicide bomber. They called her a young woman who chose to join the ranks of the resistance movement. This young woman who chose to join the ranks of the resistance movement detonated herself in January 2002 in Israel, carried out a suicide bombing attack, killing an 81-year-old Israeli woman and wounding another 150 Israelis. And for this group, that's just joining the ranks of the resistance movement. MIFTA was forced to retract. They actually had to apologize in 2013 for an article published on its website, which is a classic. It's part of the Protocols of the Elder of Zion, an anti-Semitic tract that has been widely circulated around the world for many decades. But an article published on its website that accused the Jewish people, I'm talking to a lot of Christians right now, that accused the Jewish people of using, quote, the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover. The group originally defended the writing, but reversed course amid massive outcry. This, I think, was key, and I want to go to Than Bennett on this, because Than, this group, MIFTA, this Palestinian group, holds membership with what's called the Amman Coalition, which has accused Israel of stealing and having racist goals. But it's also a member of the Palestinian NGO Network. So that's a larger umbrella group. That group has refused to add its signature to the anti-terror clause. They refuse to be anti-terror, Than, which bars them from U.S. getting any kind of U.S. funding.
To me, Jordan, this is the biggest revealing fact about this organization that you've listed yet, because this anti-terror clause that the United States requires in order to be eligible for funding from the United States is about as basic as it gets. It basically says that you can't take up arms, join a terrorist organization, and wage hostilities against the United States. That's a pretty low bar, Jordan, to be able to put your signature to. But this group, MIFTA, and the larger Palestinian NGO network is not willing to do that. So pretty revealing. And just on the larger point about Congressman Tlaib, it's pretty telling that she didn't want a yes, Jordan. She wasn't even willing to accept a yes. We already knew it wasn't about, this trip wasn't about conducting official business. She wasn't willing to join the official delegation going over. Now we know it wasn't about visiting family either. She only wanted to visit family if she could promote boycotts, and I would say she didn't even want to visit them in that regard either. So to claim it was about just a little bit of quality time really misses the mark, Jordan. And now when you're drilling down to this MIFTA organization not being willing to sign the anti-terror clause, a condition of U.S. funding, Jordan, I think it tells you everything you need to know.
This is on their website. The resistance option, published in 2009. They didn't take this down. What now? Enough nonsensical talk of peace process. Peace might be nice, but it isn't and never has been on the agenda. Not even on the agenda of this group. It is time to build a new Palestine liberation organization as elected as possible to represent all Palestinians, both Islamist and secular. Understand, folks. And then goes on to say, the Palestinians have to decide what their aims and strategies will be. The two-state solution is no solution. So you want to destroy the state of Israel. There's a huge amount of work to do. All Palestinians should agitate for the new organization. So that's saying no peace, all conflict, all war. Peace isn't even on our agenda. And that was the group that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib said, oh, this will be a good group to sponsor our visit. This will make Muslims look good in America. This will make the Palestinian movement look great and Palestinian solidarity movement look excellent. I mean, they are either extremely stupid, so they're not doing any research, or extremely dangerous. I think it's category B, particularly. They may be mouthpieces. I'm not sure how much they know, but they've got staffs behind them. They've got big organizations that have supported them along the way to get them to this point, to elected to Congress. And so, you know, you own the group that you're going to take as a sponsor for you to visit. And they've obviously done no research at all. And when you hear Palestinian and political groups, I'm saying 9 times out of 10, not all, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to find a lot of troubling links. You're going to find a lot of troubling text. You're going to find a lot of troubling information. And in the case of this group, a refusal to sign an anti-terror clause so that they can't receive any U.S. funding. If they signed the anti-terror clause, they would actually be eligible possibly to receive funding from the United States. But they refuse to sign an anti-terror clause. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Amy's calling from New Jersey on line one. Amy, welcome to JSecio Live.
You know, I'm Jewish, and you know, what got me yesterday with the when they said that they weren't going to let both of them into their country, and they did post the law relating to anybody that is for boycott and divestment and sanctioning of their country. There's a law that they don't allow people into their country to hurt their country. And I got very upset with especially the Jewish congressman people's response. For instance, Nadler, Schumer, and there was another one. Nadler, Schumer, oh, I can't remember. There was Nadler, Schumer, and there was this the other one, Schiff. all three of them, and also we had I don't think they're Jewish, was Tim Kaine came against it.
Oh, they all did. The whole Democrat Party, Amy. I don't think a single one of them stood for Israel. And these were people like Schumer and Nadler who have close ties again, and not just because they're Jewish, but because they also understand the importance of standing with Israel. But those unique ties. Then you have the Pelosi and others who also have had a pretty pro-Israel record in the past. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi says it, what, it like it belittles Israel or something like that. We can pull her statement. They rushed to defend Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar now. They're playing a dangerous game of politics, I'll tell you that, Amy, because they're letting it be known that though these two members of Congress could be extremely isolated as out of the norm and not in the mainstream even of a liberal Democrat Party, the most liberal candidates for president in the Democrat Party rushed to the defense of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. It was like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were in a fight to see who could get out the tweet first. They do no research. They didn't look into who was sponsoring the group. And then when Rashida Tlaib is allowed to visit, she says no, even though she put in the letter that she was going to abide by some restrictions and not promote boycotts against Israel. I think I would go to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, this is the absurdity of these are activists to take down Israel, ties to extremist groups, and Rashida Tlaib let her true colors be shown when she played this game with Israel about visiting her grandmother.
I think that is precisely accurate. So the real question is, why should the sovereign state of Israel welcome Representative Tlaib and Representative Omar so that they can call for essentially the destruction of Israel while in Israel? Second, is Representative Tlaib fighting against racism, as she claims, or is Representative Tlaib fighting for the opportunity to incite violence and support efforts which are linked to the destruction of Israel? And I think we all know the answer. Thirdly, why are Democratic leaders in the United States Congress falling all over themselves in defending Tlaib and Omar's trip, which was sponsored by a group with terrorist links and a group which sympathizes with suicide bombers? This calls for an in-depth investigation.
Folks, we need your support. A lot more to talk about here. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But we need your support at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're behind in the month of August financially. You double the impact of your donation. It's a matching challenge month. Donate today at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
one 800 684 3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Mark in Michigan. He lives in Rashida Tlaib's congressional district. So I'd like to get some info from Mark. Hey, Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jordan, for taking my call. I appreciate it. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to briefly say that, you know, Ms. Tlaib is a pathological liar. She, of course, when she ran for office, none of this came to the forefront. She deliberately concealed all of this hate and bigotry toward Israel and to get the office, which she did. And quite frankly, Jordan, the way she got in was there was no one running against her.
Yeah.
She was the only one on the ballot. That's how she got in.
And the truth is, I think that, again, it's like, is she representing her dish? I mean, you know, you can do two things at once. I get that. But it seems to me, Mark, and I think you probably know the best, does she ever do anything for the – is it all about Israel, all about Palestinians? I mean, is there anything for the district she represents in Michigan? Does she talk about
no.
that?
No. She's done – she's done nothing.
Yeah.
But get on – get but put – position herself in within the media and spout this hate and bigotry. This is what she does.
Yeah. Well, and she's pretty nasty. I mean, we can't even play a lot of her statements. She kind of let it be known who she was when she got elected and started cursing at the president about impeaching him the night she got elected. I also would say this, Than, I mean, you worked on Capitol Hill before. As a member of Congress, especially as a freshman member of Congress, the first thing you usually do is try to set up good constituent services so that people – if they need assistance from you in the congressional office for a number of different reasons, but that's the kind of normal work that a congressional office does, and it has local offices to carry that work out. That's where you focus. You don't jump into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in year one and start waving the flags of boycotting a U.S. ally.
Yeah, you don't let international matters or even Washington, D.C. matters, Jordan, become the first priority. The first couple of priorities are always constituent services and constituent correspondence. Even a Washington, D.C. office, Jordan, is going to spend a lot of their time responding to inquiries from their constituents to make sure they stay rooted in their home district. And the only thing I would say to Mark and the other residents of this district is they may have been surprised about Congresswoman Tlaib. I'm not sure they should have been, but if they were, guess what? They're not surprised anymore, and she's running again. She's on the ballot again in 2020, Jordan. So there's no surprises here. She's made her positions on these issues very known. And if she didn't run on them the first time, Jordan, she's certainly running on them now, and they'll have another chance to weigh in on whether or not they support those positions.
She has used her grandmother as a political prop throughout her entire political career. This is back in, again, just listen to this. I mean, this is her statement in a press statement yesterday talking about this again, and not including the fact that her grandmother, that Israel said her grandmother could see her. But take a listen to this first. This is Tlaib.
You know, my grandmother's in her 90s. Her granddaughter is a United States Congresswoman. She should have to be able to see me, to touch me, to hug me. And so I'm going to continue to fight back.
She could have been hugging and kissing her grandmother today in Israel. Traveled to Israel, gone to the West Bank to visit her. Because Israel said that's fine. But Rashida Tlaib said, silencing me and treating me like a criminal, which I'm not really sure what that means when they say, yes, you can go visit your grandmother. I don't think they said, we're going to follow you around. You're going to be with some escort. No, it just says, yeah, go visit your grandmother. But she writes, silencing me and treating me like a criminal is not what she wants from me. It would kill a piece of me. I've decided that visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions stands against everything I believe in, of course, fighting against racism, oppression, and injustice. So the only reason you wanted to go to Israel, which was sponsored by a terror-tide group that promotes female suicide bombers, teenage girls blowing themselves up as long as the targets of the explosion, which takes their life, and the brainwashing that goes along with that, but as long as the targets of their explosion happen to be Jews, they're fine with that. That was the organization they were going to go with. That alone, if you supported an organization that supported that kind of action against the U.S., do you think the U.S. would grant you a visa? Do you think you'd be able to visit the United States regardless of, you know, whatever political elected office you may hold in another country? I mean, they, like we said, if some representative, if ISIS was sponsoring a trip, but it was a trip of other members of elected officials, you wouldn't say, okay, well, it's other elected officials, and they're going under the banner of ISIS, but, you know, so we'll let them in. No, they don't get to come in. And that's, we could even take it a step below ISIS. You could say Hamas. You could say groups that are even maybe less violent than ISIS themselves.
Jordan, I would just ask our listeners to put themselves in the United States' shoes if that similar request was coming in. If it was ISIS or Hamas, and let's say it was a humanitarian request. There was family in the United States and someone with ties to ISIS or Hamas were making that request. Jordan, the United States would reject that request, no matter how sympathetic the humanitarian issue was, because you have to have at least a minimum bar of agreeing not to try to destroy the country you are asking to enter in order to be afforded that opportunity. In this case, Rashida Tlaib had two options, Jordan. She could have joined the official delegation. She wouldn't have had to sign anything that said she wasn't going to boycott. She wouldn't have had to even divest herself from MIFTA, which, you know, honestly, I think that would have been a fair threshold for Israel to require. Or she could have simply taken the humanitarian route to enter the country. But Jordan, if you reverse the shoes and someone associated with ISIS wanted to come to the United States, they would be blocked. And then if they asked for a humanitarian entrance, Jordan, they would be blocked on that issue as well. So for anyone in the United States to say that Israel wasn't well within its rights, I think they are declining to put themselves in that position if the shoe were on the other foot.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Charles in California on line two. Charles, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Yes, I was very surprised to hear that the AIPAC took a different position than the president, President Trump, and also the Prime Minister Israel. Letting the peace anti-Israel.
I think AIPAC is a very careful organization, unlike a lot of groups in Washington, D.C., but because of they have like such a broad umbrella. I think here they were wrong. I think here they tried to put out a nuanced statement that was wrong. I think at some point they're going to have to choose. It's going to be more and more difficult to play a bipartisan pro-Israel game in D.C., and say that you can really work with both sides. But so long as they can sponsor a congressional delegation, 41 members of Congress and a mixture of Republicans and Democrats, I think that, you know, that's where they kind of go. So they try to stay out of the controversies. If I was them, I kind of would have just kept my mouth shut if you're going to say anything. They tried to put out a nuanced statement that says, we disagree with Reps Omar and Tlaib's support for the anti-Israel and anti-peace BDS movement, along with Rep Tlaib's calls for a one-state solution. But we believe every member of Congress should be able to visit and experience our democracy, our democratic ally Israel firsthand. I think, again, AIPAC is, first of all, I think Israel, it was this group specifically that Israel was not okay with. I said the whole thing was not going to be about the two congresswomen and even their support for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS. It was going to be who was bringing them and who was part of the delegation that would really be the driving factor behind Israel's decision. And what we saw here, I think from AIPAC, you know, it's a careful statement. I would have said nothing or come out in support of Israel, because I think AIPAC is going to be very difficult when every Democrat leader rushes to support Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. You're going to have to ask yourself, if you're AIPAC, how do we keep working with this party? But that's up to AIPAC, not the ACLJ. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Support the work of the ACLJ. We aren't nuanced. We stand with Israel. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate to the ACLJ right now.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour. Thank you for joining us. 1-800-684-3110 to get involved in the conversation. So we know yesterday Israel bars Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib from visiting Israel. They were coming with a group tied to terrorism, MIFTA. This group, one, described a feat on their website, you can see it now, describes Wafa Idris, a female suicide bomber, as one of a few young women, they didn't call her suicide bomber, one of a few young women who chose to, quote, join the ranks of the resistance movement. She detonated herself in January 2002, killing an 81-year-old Israeli and wounding another 150 Israelis. MIFTA, this was the group that wanted to bring Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar to Israel, was forced to retract and apologize in 2013 for an article published on its website that accused the Jewish people of using, quote, the blood of Christians in the Jewish Passover. And they originally defended that writing, but they got so much outcry, hey, this hurts our cause, take it down, they finally did. But I think most telling, MIFTA is a member of the Palestinian NGO Network, a group of no good organizations. That's what the NGO should stand for there, no good organizations, which has refused to add its signature to an anti-terror clause, which is a condition for any international organization for U.S. government funding. So they've decided we don't even want to try to get funds from the U.S. because we're not going to condemn terror. We're not going to be anti-terror. And this was the group that Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, two Muslims elected to Congress, first two women who are Muslims. And this is the group they choose to say, oh, this will be a good group. This is going to put a good face on Islam. This is going to put a good face on our politics. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. By the way, the group's also a pro-BDS group. So it violates Israeli law right there by being pro-boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Let me go right to the phones. James in California, on line three. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is this. Okay, we have this group called MIFTA, who's pro-BDS, who had a terrorist young lady detonate herself, killed an Israeli woman. How is the American public going to find out about this group? And then how are we going to hold Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden? How are they going to reconcile that once the American public finds out, hey, this individual, Tlaib, was being sponsored by MIFTA, and how in the world can you stand by her and defend her?
Well, they're also, you know, the pro-Hamas as well. So they support Hamas. They like a little Hezbollah, a new Palestinian liberation organization they would like to unite all Palestinians. So they just love terrorism. By the way, they're anti-peace. It says that in a writing on their website. Peace was never an option. So they're always lying about peace. I mean, they say it was never an option. It was not really on the table. So it has been very clear. And I think, how do you learn about this? We have to get it out. Daily Caller gets it out. Broadcast will get it out. But let's be honest. The country, Than, is learning a lot about Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. That is not good for Democrats. It's not good for the radical left. But it is exposing what's behind these liberal or left efforts that are supposedly, oh, it's not anti-Jewish, it's just anti-Israel.
Well, politically speaking, Jordan, I mean, I think this is the Democrat, the bulk of the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C., and at least the base. I mean, and look, I know we're going to break this down a little bit later in the broadcast, but I think Congressman Omar actually gave that away when she threatened foreign aid to Israel from the United States because of her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Jordan, we've talked about it so many times, but the congressman that came out in response to this situation, I don't think that's as bad as Speaker Pelosi continuing to allow her that seat, even though she's threatening our greatest ally in the region. But politically speaking, now it's very clear. Now voters have a choice. Not only do they vote for these two members of Congress, but do they vote for a leadership and a party, Jordan, that is enabling these positions, because they're clearly doing that.
All right, folks. We come back. We take your phone calls. Phone lines are lighting up. 1-800-684-3110. We need your support at the American Center for Law and Justice. To have an office, just specifically on this issue, an office in Jerusalem with staff there, takes your financial support. Go to aclj.org. This is a matching challenge month. We're behind this month, so we need to kick that into gear. Make your financial contribution today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Playing games. That's what these members of Congress have been doing with Israel. We want to walk through, so we focus a lot on Rashida Tlaib because, again, she gets the okay from Israel, and we were just played for our Facebook. Do we have any of that sound? If we have any of that sound, too, because I think it is kind of unique. So this morning, like on Fox and Friends, Newt Gingrich was on. He was saying, you know, finally Rashida Tlaib's kind of figured out you can go visit your grandmother. Israel's going to let you in so long as you're not there to cause trouble. And again, you're not just there on a learning trip. You're not just there on a listening trip, which is what most members of Congress do. But you were going to go initially with this group and kind of try to stir up trouble, which in this region, if you stir up trouble, that means violence and blood is spilled. I mean, it's not like the United States. This is the Middle East and the Holy Land and some of the, again, the most tense city in the world, Jerusalem. But then she says, oh, I'm just going to go and visit my grandmother. I'm not going to get into all that. And they say, fine, absolutely fine. Even though you could have done that through, flying to Amman, go through the West Bank that way. You want to come through Israel that way? Fine. No, that's not good enough for Rashida Tlaib. And so this morning you see that. And then like 2 hours later, she's denied, I'm not doing this. So it was like a setup. She was trying to set up Israel, say, see, they only let me in if they're oppressing me and restricting me. But she's the one that used that language. In her letter. She put that in her letter. But Ilhan Omar also had a very long statement, and those are always filled with a lot of nuggets of information. And Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, I know, wanted to point out some of the key parts in Ilhan Omar, the Minnesota Congresswoman's statement.
Yeah, there's so many parts of this, Jordan, it's almost hard to pick. I'll just give you two. First of all, she makes a statement in here that Trump's Muslim ban is what Israel is implementing. And Jordan, I would just very briefly say the U.S. travel ban isn't a Muslim ban because Muslims can enter. It's those who are threatening the United States of any nationality that can't enter. Second, it's not a Muslim ban that Israel is implementing because both of these congresswomen, Jordan, can enter Israel. As you've been pointing out, there are at least two ways, probably three, that they could enter. They just can't threaten Israel's existence. But Jordan, the second point that was really troubling to me. Listen to this statement from Congresswoman Omar. She says, as a member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, it is my job to conduct oversight of foreign aid from the United States of America and to legislate on human rights practices around the world. Two quick points on that. Referencing her oversight of foreign aid, Jordan, that is a threat to the nation of Israel. There's no other way to read that. But the second point here, she is correct on one point. It is her job to conduct oversight and to legislate on foreign affairs matters. And the reason it's her job is because Speaker Pelosi has given her that committee seat. This is something we have talked about for a long time, but this is going to be a problematic situation for the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C., because Speaker Pelosi and her leadership team have continued to push Rep. Omar forward on foreign affairs matters. This is not an accident. She's actually correct on this. Because of decisions that Speaker Pelosi has made, it is her job to do that, and she is using that seat, Jordan, to threaten the nation of Israel. Good luck now for the Democrat Party separating themselves from her going forward.
She also calls Donald Trump an Islamophobe. Now, I'm pretty sure the Trump organization, the Trump business, is actually building or has buildings already in some Muslim-majority countries in the Gulf states and regions like that. So to call him an Islamophobe, again, it's typical. It's like using the racist word now. This is just anyone who they disagree with is now an Islamophobe or doesn't like Muslims. But we do have an opposing caller. And we take different positions on the air. We don't like people. So if you're going to start cursing and screaming, Mark, we're not going to keep you on. But if you have an actual opposition, we will. And we're fine with that discussion. So Mark's calling in from Virginia on line one. Mark, you're on the broadcast.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. And, you know, I'm not going to scream. I appreciate your point of view. I respect your point of view, but I respectfully disagree. I think Rashida Tlaib is actually an American hero, because what he is showing is the true nature and the face of Israel, which is really a racist regime, and a regime that is taking $4 billion of our American tax money when the state of Texas or even the state of California or the state of Virginia, where I'm from, cannot even get $1 billion. And this racist
regime... Well, you have your... Juan, I mean, you're talking about a state, your state resources. I would go through a few things you say. First, let me ask you this before we get to the funding issue, because I think that that's, you know, if you're getting something back for the funding, I think that's one thing. So I think I can get into a long discussion on the U.S. partners with Israel's military, because we work on technology together. And of course, Israel's got 7 million people versus the U.S., which has 350 million plus. So we co-fund and co-sponsor a lot of these military and scientific endeavors that Israel works on a smaller scale, and that then benefits the U.S. National security. So that's one thing. But I will say, Mark, what makes Israel racist specifically?
Yeah, what Israel makes racist, I think I can point to the law that was passed last year, which said that this land is exclusively for the Jewish people. Now, you know, everybody has a right to live in that land, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And I completely disagree with anybody who is, of course, anti-Semitic, who say that the Jews have no right to live in that land. Absolutely.
But you just don't want it to be majority Jewish, because the Jewish people, which are this small, tiny minority in the world, can't have their own sliver of land in a place which is 99% Muslim surrounding it. And there's all these areas, different kinds, flourishing Islamic communities of different backgrounds, of different religious faith, different kinds of Arab communities, secular communities, you know, kind of pick and choose. But yet for Jews, they can't have one that's their majority, where they're in control. That's your problem with it, is that Jews are in control of the state of Israel.
See, I'm concerned about a person like you who interrupts a caller such as myself.
Well, it's my show, you stop talking.
Don't you want the viewers to hear my point of view?
Yeah, I think you put it out. No. But you said racist. You pointed to the law. Explained. I'm asking you a question, Mark. Is your problem with Israel that Jews run the state of Israel?
No, that's not the problem.
But how would Jews maintain control of Israel if everybody could just come in? I mean, it wouldn't be a Jewish state anymore. You know, you will agree with that at least, right, Mark?
Okay, so you keep asking question after questions after questions, and you're not allowing me to answer. Do you want
me
to answer?
Yes, no, yes, no. I mean, they're pretty simple questions.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Israel's oppression and theft of Palestinian land, is that you think?
I don't think Israel has stolen any Palestinian land. You start a war with a country, which Palestinians did in 1948, you suffer the consequences. You do it again in 1967, you suffer the consequences when you lose. You do it again in 1973, you suffer the consequences. Israel could have taken over Cairo, could have taken over Amman, could have taken over Damascus, could have taken over Beirut. They didn't, because they're more democratic in their principles, like the United States, who didn't take over Germany.
Sir, I'm a Christian from the Holy Land.
That's wonderful. Okay, so there's I get that. You want to live under Hamas control? Would you rather live under the control of Hamas or the state of Israel?
Yeah, you see, you keep talking and talking and talking and talking.
I don't think we're going to let you talk anymore. Enough with you, because I think you're just throwing out rhetoric. You're throwing out red meat points. You're a Christian from the Holy Land, but you moved to Virginia. And that's because you probably had a choice, and I'm sure it's better here, because represented a lot of Palestinian Christians who live in the, quote, Holy Land. And if you're talking about the horrendous conditions the UN has kept people in, and this refugee mindset, which is in the West Bank, and the billions of dollars siphoned by your Palestinian leaders there, or the terrorist group in charge of the Gaza Strip, then yeah, it's probably better in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have rescued Palestinians, from Palestinian terror groups. So that's why I don't take any of these statements, and you don't get to claim people are racist, and your example is a law which says the state of Israel will be a Jewish state. That's what you can't stand. That's what these folks can't stand. I mean, that's the key, Harry, is that there is a tiny sliver of land in the world that the Jewish people control, not Muslims, not Arabs, it just underscores it is all about anti-Semitism.
I think you're absolutely correct. And it started with the inception of the modern state of Israel. So if you go back to 1947, if you go back to 1948, the hatred, the enmity toward the creation of a Jewish state became palpable. It led to a war. It led to violence. And you are absolutely correct. It led to violence in 1967. It led to violence in 1973. And it's important to keep in mind that the Jewish state has won all of those wars, but has exercised restraint consistent with democratic values.
Tell people playing today at the Trump International Golf Club or Trump World Golf Club in Dubai or Indonesia that Trump is Islamophobe. The business people that did the business there. It's right on the Trump the commercial website. And by the way, those are public courses, so if you find yourself in those places, you can play those courses too. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your phone calls on the air. You notice how most of the rest of the Muslim world doesn't get in this? Because the Palestinians have been a disaster for a lot of those countries as well, and very dangerous as well. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We need your financial support today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This show has flown by. Let me make clear right now for folks. I've been doing the end of each segment. I need to do it now. The ACLJ right now, it's a matching challenge month of August. That means that whatever you contribute to the ACLJ, we have donors who are ready to match each donation that comes in. So if you donate $30 right now at aclj.org, we have donors ready to match that. So it's effectively like $60. But you have to make that initial donation. And it's for the entire month of August, but I'll let you know we're behind right now. It's been a busy news month. There's been a lot going on, and there have been days where we just didn't think it was appropriate to discuss the matching challenge. We focused on the news and some of the issues. But right now, I have to let you know, I mean, with our work that we do in Israel and our office in Jerusalem, this is one of the examples, one of the reasons to support the work of the ACLJ. And this is a great time to do it because you can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. So if you have time today and you have the financial capability and the resources, all those donations matter. I will tell you honestly, we are kind of similar a lot to, you see grassroots political campaigns advertise a lot. They say, well, that's because our average donation is between $35 and $40. That's the truth. So don't think at the ACLJ that you've got to be able to donate $250 or $300 to make an impact. Just know that, I mean, the average donations are $20, $25, $35. That's what people on average. We have a lot of supporters from across the country and very diverse backgrounds and different economic situations. But if you're in one and you can make a donation today, if you're in a situation where you can, this is a great time to do it because you're doubling the impact of that single donation at aclj.org. Let's go right to the phones. That's what we do in our final segment. Maureen in Indiana online too. Maureen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So I have been listening, and I am a dietitian in Indiana, and our professional organization requires us to have 75 continuing ed credits every year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, every 5 years.
Okay.
And prior to Obamacare, it was absolutely pretty much commonplace to have formula companies or a variety of other companies bring us lunch and provide us with one or two continuing ed credits, which was a huge help on a dietitian's salary. Now that practice is pretty much banned for fear of favoritism when it comes to considering products that we're going to feed the kids in the hospital. So to hear that congresswomen have sponsored a trip by an organization with terrorism ties is a little concerning. And I'm just wondering how it is unethical for me to have a lunch, but not unethical for them to take a trip when they may vote on a bill that has that organization may want influenced in a way.
Yeah, and this is the thing. The truth is that there's actually it's much easier for members of Congress to go on these sponsored trips by groups that is for you in your business world and your license world, you know, with the licensing that comes into it and the conflict of interest. That if the group was just a pro-Palestinian group and didn't have ties to terror, it probably wouldn't be an issue, even though they do vote on legislation. And that's why, you know, if a pro-Israel group wants to bring a group. So that's the thing, then. They have a lot of leeway in making these congressional delegation, they call them CODELs, and these trips, which they do during these recess periods, specifically, usually in larger groups, like the group that went with AIPAC. But again, the groups do come under scrutiny, and this group, specific with ties to terrorism, ties to suicide bombers, justifying suicide bombers, justifying Hamas, saying that peace is not an option, supporting BDS is actually at the bottom of their list. They're so extreme. You know, that plays a role in a country's decision.
Jordan, I think Maureen nailed it. I mean, look, you can go on a Codell, you can go on a trip to a foreign organization, as long as it's an organization that can be trusted, certainly one that signs the anti-terror pledge. Just a few quick points on this. I mean, they could have gone on the official delegation trip that both Steny Hoyer and Kevin McCarthy wanted them to go on. Then they would have been actually interacting with Israeli officials. Second of all, they could have gone with a group that would sign that anti-terror pledge. I don't think there would have been a problem had they done that and then been willing to abide by those criteria. Third, the point that Maureen made about voting on legislation, Jordan, that is particularly relevant to the threat that Congresswoman Omar made. She specifically said, my seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee makes it my job to conduct oversight on foreign aid from the United States. That was a threat. That was a threat to use her seat on the committee to condition funds to Israel. So I think Maureen got it right on all of the points. And when it comes to Congressman Omar, I think it's particularly relevant that she herself is leveraging her seat on that committee to do exactly what Maureen said.
Ray is calling in from Pennsylvania on line one. Ray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you today?
We're good.
Just a couple of quick comments. I believe in my heart that the true colors of the Democratic Party have come out as they stand behind Rashida Tlaib and Omar. And one other thing I have to say is that regarding people who think Israel is an oppressive regime, the question I have to ask them is, how many times has Israel, under pressure from previous American presidents, been forced to give up land for peace, peace that never came? And the only president who has ever truly stood with Israel is the president who is in office now.
I will say this. It is President Trump, I think probably other than maybe President Truman, who initially supported the creation of the Jewish state of Israel. So you give him a lot of credit there in 1948. But if you fast forward, President Trump is probably, and again, I'm saying probably, the only U.S. president who has supported the expansion of Israel's self-determination and territory and in the Jewish state of Israel by recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel. Which, again, Israel took, like we say, war has some consequences, including creating buffer zones between the aggressor and those defending themselves. And that's part of what the Golan Heights does. It's like a buffer between Israel and Syria, which was kept attacking Israel. They had their own domestic issues. So, even, you know, Republican and Democrat, they weren't willing to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Donald Trump was. They weren't willing to recognize the Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel. Donald Trump did. They wouldn't move the embassy to Israel. It was in Tel Aviv, even though Israel's government is based in Jerusalem. Donald Trump moved the embassy. And now you're starting to see the response to that. And like you said, Mark, the true colors. I'll go to Than and Harry just for a closing comment. Say it is the true colors of the radical left. And radical leftism for generations has included rabid anti-Semitism and anti-Israel politics.
Never has it been more important for the American people to stand against it. This relationship with Israel, this goes back to Mark's comments. Every dollar we spend there, Jordan, is money well spent because there are repeated threats that are thwarted because of the intel sharing that we do. We've got to keep that alliance firm, and it depends on the American people seeing through these true colors that are being on display right now.
And I would say that the caller's analysis is spot on. Israel has given up land for peace. Israel has recognized the rights of non-Jews within their midst to constitutional protection. And so all of these claims by Tlaib and Omar are essentially false. It's more or less a political stunt by the two congresspeople.
Folks, we need your support at the American Center for Law and Justice. It's part of how we bring you this broadcast. It's how we bring you the experts. But it's also because we're actually involved in these issues. We have an office. We're not just a radio show. We have a legal office in Jerusalem, the capital of the state of Israel. We have that office because of your financial support to the American Center for Law and Justice. That one is called ACLJ Jerusalem. Support the work that we do. Financially contribute to the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge of month of August at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.